Narayanam namaskritya naram cheva narottamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tato jayam udirayat. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 21, Chapter entitled Instructions by Maharaj Prithu, Text number 40. Pumalapetana tivelamatmana. Prasidato tyanta shamam swata swayam. Yanicha sambandha nishevayatata. Param kima trasti mukham avir bujam. Pumala peta nati vela matmana. Prasidato tyanta shamam swata swayam. Yanicha sambandha nishevayatata. Param kima trasti mukham avir bujam. Pumala peta nanitvela matmana. Prasidato tyanta shamam swata swayam. Yanicha sambandha nishevayatata. Kima trasti mukham avir bujam. Puman, a person. Lapeta, can achieve. Anati velam, without delay. Atmana, of his soul. Prasidata,
being satisfied.
Atyanta, the greatest. Shamam, peace. Swata, automatically. Swayam, personally. Yat, whose. Nitya, regular. Sambandha, relationship. Nishevaya, by dint of service. Tata, after that. Param, superior. Kim, what. Atra, here. Asti, there is. Mukham, happiness. Havi, clarified butter. Bujam,
those who drink.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. By regular service to the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas, one can clear the dirt from his heart and thus enjoy supreme peace and liberation from material attachment and be satisfied. In this world, there is no fruitive activity superior to serving the Brahmana class, for this can bring pleasure to the demigods, for whom the many sacrifices are recommended. Translation responsibly. By regular service to the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas, one can clear the dirt from his heart and thus enjoy supreme peace and liberation.
and joys to be in peace and liberation.
From material existence.
From material attachment.
And be satisfied.
And be satisfied.
In this world there is no fruitive activity.
In this world there is no
superior to serving the Brahmana class. For this can bring pleasure to the demigods. For whom the many sacrifices are recommended. Purport. In Bhagavad Gita 2.65 it is said, Prasade Savam. Sarasava Dukanam Hanir. Ashopa Jayate. Unless one is self-satisfied, he cannot be free from the miserable conditions of material existence. Therefore, it is essential to render service to the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas who achieve the perfection of self-satisfaction. Srila Narottama Das Thakur therefore says, Tandera Charana Sevi Bhakta Sane Vas Janame Janame Hoy E Abhilash. Birth after birth, I desire to serve the lotus feet of the acharyas and live in a society of devotees. A spiritual atmosphere can be maintained only by living in a society of devotees and by serving the orders of the acharyas. The spiritual master is the best brahmana. At present, in the age of Kali, it is very difficult to render service to the brahmana kula, or the brahmana class. The difficulty, according to the Varaha Purana, is that demons taking advantage of Kali Yuga have taken birth in brahmana families. Rakshasa Kalim Ashritya Jayante Brahma Yonishu Varaha Purana. In other words, in this age, there are many so-called caste brahmanas and caste goswamis who are taking advantage of the shastra and the innocence of people in general. Claim to be Brahmanas and Vaishnavas by hereditary right. One will not derive any benefit by rendering service to such false Brahmana kulas. One must therefore take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master and his associates and should also render service to them. For such activity will greatly help the neophyte in attaining full satisfaction. This has been very clearly explained by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in his explanation of the verse. Pyavasi Yapnika Buddhiya Ekeha Kuru Nanda, Bhagavad Gita 2.41. By actually following the regulative principles of Bhakti Yoga as recommended by Srila Narottama Das Thakur, one can very quickly come to the transcendental platform of liberation. As explained in this verse, Atyanta Shamam. The particular use of the word Anati Velam, without delay, is very significant because simply by serving Brahmanas and Vaishnavas one can get liberation. There is no need to undergo severe penances and austerities. The vivid example of this is Narada Muni himself. In his previous birth he was simply a maidservant's son. But he got the opportunity to serve exalted Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. And thus in his next life, he not only became liberated, but became famous as the supreme spiritual master of the entire Vaishnava disciplic succession. According to the Vedic system, therefore, it is customarily recommended that after performing a ritualistic ceremony, one should feed the Brahmanas. Amagyan Timanandrasya Ginanjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Jena Chasmaya Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swa Padantikam Vansha Kaupata Rubyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyavacha Petitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, have you read the Chaitanya Bhagavat? Chaitanya Charitamrita, have you read Chaitanya Charitamrita? These are two of the major biographies of Lord Chaitanya. So, Prabhupada translated the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Nectar of Devotion. And he was translating the Srimad Bhagavatam. And in around about 1974, then some devotees said to Prabhupada while he was translating the Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam is a huge work. It's 18,000 verses. Prabhupada was very busy managing ISKCON, constantly traveling. And at the same time while he was doing all of this, he was translating Bhagavatam. He would go to bed 10 o'clock, 10:30, get up at 12, 12:30, and then translate Bhagavatam. So, in the middle of that, then some devotees said, can you please give us some literature about Lord Chaitanya? So Prabhupada was thinking, what should I translate? And he was undecided. Shall I translate Chaitanya Charitamrita or Chaitanya Bhagavat? So then he asked, he was discussing with a few disciples, he said, what do you think? Chaitanya Charitamrita or Chaitanya Bhagavat? So then, Achyutananda Prabhu, who was a sannyasi back then, he said, Chaitanya Bhagavat. He'd been living in Bengal and studying, and said, Chaitanya Bhagavat. And then, Bhavananda Prabhu, he said, because Achyutananda Prabhu said, Chaitanya Bhagavat, so he said, Chaitanya Charitamrita. He didn't even know what it was. Prabhupada said, what should I translate, Bhagavad or Chaitanya? And Prabhupada said, I will translate Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Prabhupada decided Chaitanya Charitamrita. But Chaitanya Bhagavad is also equally important. Now, they're both books about the life and pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Bhagavad has more emphasis on Lord Chaitanya's earlier life and the middle of his life. Chaitanya Charitamrita has more emphasis on the final pastimes in Puri itself. Chaitanya Bhagavat covers more the Mayapur Navadvip Leela, and then it covers Puri also, but Chaitanya Charitamrita is more Puri. And Chaitanya Charitamrita is there's more emphasis on Madhurya Ras. Chaitanya Bhagavat, Sakya Ras is also emphasized. So the moods are slightly different in the two books. And in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Vipralamba, like the highest teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Vipralamba Seva, that is emphasized very powerfully in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So it is very powerful. So in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, it is mentioned, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur mentions in his commentary, Lord Chaitanya's teachings can be categorized into three components. What are those three components of Lord Chaitanya's teachings? Yes, Samanda, Abhideya, Parojana. That's the Vedas itself. But specifically Lord Chaitanya's teachings, he gives three... I mean, you can summarize all of Lord Chaitanya's teachings in three areas. Do you remember? What is it? That's good. Yeah, very good. Yeah. Three things, it says. Nama Ruchi, Vaishnav Seva, and Jiva Daya. All of Lord Chaitanya's teachings can be summarized by these three points. Nama Ruchi. Devotees have to get a taste for chanting the holy name. If you don't get a taste for chanting the holy name, you will not remain a strong devotee. And you see, sometimes people leave Krishna consciousness. Or they float off, they separate. or they don't come around as much. This can be, there's different reasons why devotees move away, but this can be because they don't have taste for chanting the holy name. Taste for chanting the holy name must be cultivated. You have to cultivate chanting. It's like anything. You become good at something. Like when I was a kid, I used to play soccer. So I was in the local soccer team. And I remember my coach, a long time ago, I was only like maybe 7, 8 years old, something like that. And, you know, we hear in English, we have one saying, practice makes perfect. So, you know, we were 7, 8 year old kids and we're very enthusiastic, very fired up. So, you know, the coach is with us, he's talking to us. And he said, you know, you have to practice seriously. When we go to practice, when we go to training, you have to practice seriously. Because then on Saturday, you play the match. If you don't practice seriously, you won't be good in the actual game. So then we were little kids. So we said, practice makes perfect. Because we thought we were very learned. It was a practice of impressing the coach. And the coach said, no. He said, perfect practice makes perfect. I remember this my whole life. This is a lesson. My coach was my guru. Now, if I can find him again, I'll thank him. I said, thank you. But he taught me something. When you are practicing, you have to practice like you're actually playing the game. How will you become good at chanting if you don't chant seriously? Why do we chant 16 rounds a day? That's a big commitment, isn't it? That's a big commitment. That's like 2 hours of meditation a day. If you don't do that very well, how will you develop a taste for chanting? It doesn't happen automatically. Doesn't it? You just pick up the beats, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram, Hare 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 Hare. Like sometimes you hear devotees chanting, it's not the Maha Mantra. You know, it's your mantra, whatever it is that you're chanting. It's not the Maha Mantra. Maha Mantra has 16 words. Right? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Ram, Hare Ram Ram Ram, Hare 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 Krishna. You know, it's a very distinct mantra. You hear devotees chanting sometimes, you know, missing words. Chanting them twice. Sounds more like some Muslim. Sometimes it does. I hear devotees chanting. Which religion is this? Doesn't sound like the Maha Mantra. So if you don't chant properly, how will you get a taste for chanting? If you don't learn to chant properly, how will you get the taste? Now you have to put the effort into it. It's a meditation. It's called dhyana. Dhyana means meditation. Chapter 6 of Bhagavad Gita is called dhyana yoga. Right? It's a meditation. Right? You see, if you've ever been to a meditation class or if you see meditation classes, you know, people are focused. You know, they're not like, you know, like, you know. You know, it's a focus. And japa is a meditation. And it should be like that. You should be focused. The mind should be centered and fixed. Right? You see, when a lot of devotees chant, it's not like that very much at all. Very distracted. You know, walking around and doing this. Like, I see devotees sometimes out here in front of the notice board chanting their japa. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. You know, reading the notice board. But what are you doing? Are you reading or are you chanting? That's not meditation. That's distracted chanting. It's inattentive chanting. Every morning we say there are 10 offenses. And then the last, then after that we say, and it is also offense to be. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, inattention is the cause of the other offenses. So if you're chanting inattentively, how will you get Namaruchi? How will you get taste for chanting? You have to cultivate it. The Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, says, Harinam Anukirtanam. The process of becoming self-realized in Kali Yuga is Harinam Anukirtanam. What does Harinam Anukirtanam mean? Hari means? Krishna, that's good. Nam means? The name. So, okay, the process is to chant the holy name. Kirtan means? Glorification, chanting, right? So chanting the holy name, so that's the process. But then the word is given, anukirtanam. So what does that mean? What is an anukirtanam? What does that mean?
Following in the footsteps.
Following in the footsteps of? Well, the acharyas. Yeah. It means following when you're chanting. You have to learn chanting. You have to learn everything in devotional service. That's why the very first item of bhakti is Gurupad Ashraya. Gurupad Ashraya means devotional service begins, the first of the 64 angas of bhakti, is that you must have a guru. In other words, everything we do, we learn. Just like if you do deity worship, you have to learn it. Someone has to teach you to worship the deities. Right? If you cook khichdi, right, you have to learn how to cook khichdi. You can't just go in the kitchen. You know, someone says, okay, cook khichdi. What do? You need to learn. There's a system. Anukirtan means you have to follow a system. Just like my Guru Maharaj, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he joined ISKCON 1968 in San Francisco in America. The second or third day after he joined the temple, in the morning, one of the devotees said, can you give class this morning? And he said, what do I say? And I said, whatever you want. He'd been in the temple two or three days. He sat down and gave class. He just knew a few things. He'd been coming around a little bit, read some of Prabhupada's books, and then he had to give a class. That's not a very good system. It's not a very good system. ISKCON's not like that now. But back then, that was the very beginning days. He said back then, you know, because they didn't know very much. You know, it was like new. They needed training. Anukirtanam means you have to follow. Someone has to teach you. And Prabhupada was teaching everyone. Imagine Prabhupada's position. He was the only one who knew anything. And he had to teach everyone. Tamal Krishnamurti said, you know, they had Jagannath Balaram Subhadra in the temple. No one knew anything in the beginning. In the very beginning, they carved Jagannath Balaram Subhadra in San Francisco and they made a second like set and they sent them to New York. And when they arrived, they were in the boxes and then Brahmananda Prabhu unpacked. And when he saw Jagannath Balaram Subhadra, he'd never seen like deities before, he'd never seen like Jagannath before. In America, the Native American Indians, they have totem poles. Right? It's like a pole and they carve all different things. So when he saw the deities, he thought they were meant to go on top of each other. That's what he thought. And he asked Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, no. Not like this. Like this. No one knew. No one knew. If you don't have a guru, anu, kirtan, means you have to follow. Someone has to teach you everything. Everything devotional, we have to be taught. Tamal Krishnamurti said, in the very beginning, they were in San Francisco in 1968, they knew, they didn't know anything. There was an ice cream shop straight across the road. Right? So he said, they used to go over, buy strawberry ice cream, you know, from the shop, walk into the temple, Jagannath Balaram said, just put it in front of the deities, pray, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, and then just sit down in the temple and just eat strawberry ice cream. You can't do that. That's not the system. Imagine we did that. We just go down to, now they've got an IGA there, right? IGA Express. Buy some ice cream, come just put it there in front of the donation box, and then just sit here and just like start eating ice cream. Mm-hmm. Hey, Prabhu. Hey, Mataji, what are you doing? That's not the system. You can't eat in front of the deities. But they didn't know. You know, one time Prabhupada came. Prabhupada walked into the temple in the afternoon. It was on a Sunday in Hyderabad, like 1968 in San Francisco. Prabhupada walked in. Jagannath Balaram Subhadra were not there. The deities were gone. Prabhupada said, where are the deities?
Now one devotee said, oh, they took the deities to the park. Right? So Prabhupada said, take me there immediately. They got in the car, they drove down the park. Devotees were there. They had picnic blanket, Jagannath Balaram Subhadra. Everyone was like, you know, like you see those old kirtans in, what was that first park called? Tompkins Square Park. You know, it's Tompkins Square Park. And you know, so they had the deities on the blanket and some devotees were doing kirtan and all the hippies were dancing around Jagannath Balaram Subhadra. Right? And Prabhupada said to the devotees, he said, do not do this again. He said, because you are new and you are sincere, then Krishna is, you know, Krishna, there's not an offense. You did not know. But Prabhupada said, do not do this again. You can't just take the deities and just, you know. So I figured we're having a home program. So. You know, just take Jagannath Balaram Subhadra and just put them in. You know, it's not the system. Anukirtana, you must learn. Everything we do in devotional service needs to be learned. Right? We have to learn to put on a dhoti. We have to learn to put on a sari. We don't know how to do it. Jagatarini Manaji said the first time she ever put a sari on, she put it around twice. Wrapped it around twice because she didn't know what to do. She never put one on before, so she was like a mummy. And then she had to walk 5 kilometers and she was walking on the street like. Okay. You know, how did the Matajis learn how to put on a sari in the beginning of ISKCON? Prabhupada had to show them. Prabhupada had to get a sari and put it on. Show it. This is how you put on a sari. Anukirtana means you need to learn from an acharya. That's how we learn. So why is the holy name different? You have to learn how to chant. Right? If you want to chant and get a taste for chanting, you have to find devotees who have a taste for chanting and chant in their association. Right? And then you'll get a taste for chanting. Right? Otherwise, you won't learn how to chant. Because you see, many devotees don't chant very good japa, I've seen. You see them chanting, very distracted, very inattentive, you know, falling asleep, all these things. That's not good chanting. You won't get ruchi, you won't get nam ruchi, you won't get a taste for chanting the holy name. You have to learn it. You have to find devotees who are chanting very nicely and chant. Right? And ask for instruction. You know, Prabhu, how do I chant more deeply? You know, just like every year for many, many years, I go to Japa retreat, holy name retreat, with Sachinandan Swami Burujan Prabhu, Mother Jagatarini. You know, so for many years, I go with their advanced devotees, right, and chant with them, and then learn how to chant. Otherwise, how do I know how to chant? What's my qualification? Right. The only adhikar that we receive is when you receive the association of advanced devotees by their association, then you learn the system. Devotees have to understand these things. There are many things you have to learn in devotional service, and you only learn when you have gurus. Right? Anyone who teaches you something is a guru. Just like my soccer coach. You know, I haven't seen him for 40 years. He's my guru. My whole life I remember. Practice doesn't make perfect. Perfect practice makes perfect. Right? He told me that 40 years ago. You know, now I have to find him, take the dust from his feet and say, you have helped me to become a good devotee. You know, my practice of Krishna consciousness comes from the instruction you gave me many years ago. Right? If you want to be sincere in devotional service, you need to get the good association. Right? So any devotee who teaches you in devotional service, that will help you. So Lord Chaitanya's first teaching, right, is Nama Ruchi. Right? Second teaching is Vaishnav Seva. So here, that's what's being spoken about here in this part of the Bhagavatam. Everything that Lord Chaitanya has taught is in the Shikshastika. Right? Shikshastika means there are 8 verses. Ashta. Ashta means 8. 8 verses which summarize all of Lord Chaitanya's teachings. It's all in there. Now, within the eight verses is the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? Every verse of the Bhagavatam, the 18,000 verses, is within the eight verses of the Shikshastika. So Lord Chaitanya is teaching us, right? And here this verse is telling us, and he's teaching his Vaishnava Seva. The Bhagavatam here is, Prithu Maharaj is telling us, we have to serve Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. Right? So how do you know who is a Vaishnava?
Anyone who chants the Hare Krishna,
even
once.
Yeah, that's the, you could say, the most liberal understanding. Yeah, you could say that, most liberal understanding. How do we know who is a Vaishnava? Who is a devotee?
Everybody who chants Hare Krishna, just by seeing him, it crosses Satyananda.
Yeah, but that's the definition of a Uttama Bhakta. Uttama, that's the highest devotee. Do people just chant Hare Krishna when they see you?
Once in a while.
Yeah, once in a while. Once in a while. But there's some devotees, you know, when you see them, just everyone just starts chanting. You know, like His Holiness Jayapataka Swami. Right, as soon as you see everyone just starts chanting, Kirtan just manifests. Prabhupada. You know, these kind of devotees. Then when devotees are there, Kirtan just manifests. That doesn't happen all the time with us. So, how do we understand who's a devotee? Right? A Vaishnava. Right? Vaishnava means someone who is dedicating their lives to serving Krishna. Right? They are Vaishnava. Right? Just like in 1968, devotees were walking with Prabhupada, in the very beginning of ISKCON. And I think Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he said to Prabhupada, he said, how many pure devotees are there on the planet? And Prabhupada said, how many devotees are there in ISKCON? And back then there was about 80 devotees in ISKCON. So Prabhupada was considering that anyone who is within ISKCON, who is a practicing member and a practicing devotee, they are a pure devotee. And Prabhupada gave the example, just like a mango. The mango is ripe, or the mango is unripe. Still it is valuable. When it's ripe, it's very satisfying. Prabhupada's favorite fruit was the mango. Prabhupada's very fond of mangoes. So when it's unripe, you can make green mango chutney. You know, different preparations they can make. In Bengal they make different preparations. So Prabhupada said it is valuable. So whether someone is a pure devotee, or we're becoming on the path of pure devotional service, Prabhupada said, we are Vaishnava, devotee. Actually, technically, we're Vaishnava Abbas. Abbas means shadow. Not really a devotee. We're like a shadow of a devotee. You know, a shadow looks like you, but it's not really you. So when we're practicing, we're not pure devotees, but we're practicing, so that when we're considering. So, Vaishnava Seva. You have to serve devotees. If someone's accepts Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you have to serve that person. So then Rupa Goswami says, how do you serve them? In the Nectar of Instruction, the Upadeshamrita. How do you serve devotees? We don't serve every devotee the same. If someone is less advanced than us, how do we serve them? What does Rupa Goswami say? If someone is not as advanced as us, right? How do we serve them?
We give them mercy.
Yeah. How do we give them mercy?
Guide them to.
Yeah, you give them instruction. Instruction. You instruct them. You know, you guide them. That is kripa. That is mercy. Do like this, do like this, don't do like this, don't do like this. Right? That's how you serve. But you have to serve. If someone is not as advanced as you, if someone has not been practicing as long as you, if they're not as educated or cultured or devoted as you, then you have to instruct them and assist them. That's your seva to them. If you see someone is not doing something properly, you have to instruct them. Devotees don't like doing this. You know, if someone's not doing something properly, they don't say anything. That's not your position is. If you notice that, you have to tell them. Yeah, excuse me, you have to do this properly. And if they won't listen to you because they won't accept your authority, because that's everyone has authority problems in Kali Yuga in this age, then get someone who can instruct them. and they have to be instructed. Right? So you need guidance. Right? That's Vaishnav Seva, that's serving the devotees. Right? And if someone's on the same level of you, right, if someone's like equally advanced, you know, more or less, no one's exactly the same, but like equally advanced, then you make friends. Right? You have to know who's more advanced than you, who's less advanced, and who's the same. Otherwise, you don't associate properly. You have to know these things. Right? Who's more, who's less, who's the same. Because you treat the three differently. You can't go up to someone who's more advanced than you and just put your arms around them and say, hey, how are you doing? It doesn't make sense. Now you go to, you know, Banu Swami, so you just put your yeah. Maharaj, how are you doing? Hey, Maharaj just be like, excuse me? Who are you? You have to learn the etiquette. It's called sadachar. Sadachar means etiquette. Right? How to associate. Then you make advancement. Otherwise you don't make advancement. If you can't work out how to associate with everyone properly according to their level of it, you don't make advancement in Krishna consciousness. So if someone's on the same level, you make friends with them. Right? And you ask them, Prabhu, please give me your realizations. Right? Inquire confidentially. Ask them to reveal their mind and reveal your mind to them. And then if someone is more advanced, how do you serve them? Yeah, you learn from them and you render menial service. Right? You bring them some water, or you bring them the garland, or you serve them prasadam. You know, when the more advanced devotees come, you serve them. Do menial service. And you inquire submissively. Please tell me your realizations. Please instruct me. Right? That is the correct mood. So that is Vaishnav Seva. That is service. You're serving the senior devotees by inquiring from them and by rendering menial service. Right? Equals, then you make friendship. Those who are less advanced, you give them guidance. That's the system. And you have to know who's who. Right? If you don't know who's more advanced than you and who's less advanced and who's the same, you can't advance in Krishna consciousness nicely. So you have to learn these things. This is called Vaishnav Seva. So this is what Prithu Maharaj is speaking of here in this verse. So there's Vaishnav Seva, Nama Ruchi, and what was the other one? Jivadoya. Jivadoya means? Merciful, kind to the jivas. Jiva means? Anything that is alive. Jiva. Anything that is alive, you have to give mercy to it. You have to be merciful to the plants, to the insects, to the reptiles, to the birds, to the beasts, to the humans, to the devatas. Everyone, you have to jivadaya, you have to be merciful. In other words, if someone does not have Krishna consciousness, you have to give them Krishna consciousness. That is your service, called jivadaya. Confirmed. From the spiritual world. So, jivadaya. Jiva means you have to give mercy. Jivadaya. Every devotee has to give mercy. Prabhupada's mood, and that's what separates ISKCON the most from everyone else in the Gaudiya traditions, is the spirit of jivadaya. Right? The spirit of preaching Krishna consciousness, giving Krishna to others. Right? It's very, very strong. Prabhupada was the strongest of the preachers. His mood of preaching was stronger than anyone else. How many disciples did Prabhupada's guru have? Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur.
60,000.
Yeah, 60,000 disciples. Right? Prabhupada's guru Maharaj, who's up there in the picture, 60,000 disciples. And out of 60,000, one of them stood out amongst all of the others. Right? Because he had the mood of spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. Right? And he didn't really begin it until he was 69 years old. That's when he really began to make an impact, at the age of 69. That's when the impact was felt and made. He was so powerful. I mean, 69, we can't even imagine. 69, you get on a boat with $8 and go to another country and start a worldwide movement. Now that's powerful. That's Jiva Daya, spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. Because Lord Chaitanya predicted, my name will be chanted in every town and village on the earth. Right? That's a huge instruction. And Prabhupada took that whole instruction. I will fulfill that instruction. Right? And that's Prabhupada's move. ISKCON means you have to give Krishna to others. Right? That's what ISKCON means. Now we have Krishna. You have to give Krishna to others. You can't just keep him for yourself. If you don't give to others, how will you advance? The more you give Krishna to others, the more you receive Krishna. That's one of the secrets. It's a fact. Devotees who have the most realizations are the devotees who give Krishna the most to others. That's the mood. It's called Goshtyanandi. Goshtyanandi means we preach, we give to others. So these three are the essence of Lord Chaitanya's teachings. What were they? If you just do these three, you'll become successful in your Krishna consciousness. Develop a taste for chanting, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Serve Vaishnavas, devotees. And give mercy to the conditioned souls. Then you'll go back to Godhead. Be with Krishna eternally in Goloka Vrindavan. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? What we discussed? Yeah.
Regarding chanting, people to develop faith. With myself, I try so hard to chant with love, and be very frustrating sometimes, or even to serve the deities with love. And to develop love, so my question is how to develop love, to put love into it.
Yeah, love in Sanskrit is called prema. Rupa Goswami says there are 9 levels of bhakti. What are the 9 levels? Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Vajana Kriya, Anatta Nivritti, then what? Nishta, then? Ruchi, then? Asakti, then? Bhava, then? Prema. So you're saying you want the 9th level. Why don't you get the 5th level? What's 5th? Nishta. What does nishta mean?
Fixed up.
Fixed up, steady. Are you fixed up and steady?
Am I? Is it the same thing to chant with love and
the prima? No, but I'm asking the question, are you fixed up and steady? Yeah, okay, that's good. So you're trying. So aim for number 5 first and then aim for number 9. How are you going to get to 9 if you haven't got 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5? Understand? Number 4 means you have to get rid of material desires. Have you got rid of material desires? So how are you going to get love for Krishna if you don't get rid of the material desires? So concentrate on where you're at. You know what your goal is. You want love for Krishna, but you have to do the work in between. Get rid of the material desires. Right? Become fixed and steady. And then automatically you will get prema. But do not be sentimental. Don't just aim for prema without doing the hard work in between. You have to do both. Does it make sense? Okay. Good question. Any other questions?
How do we spread the knowledge of Krishna in a time right now where a lot of the young people don't want to at all to follow any form of spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's quite hard to follow a spirituality if nobody else in your proximity does. And then that makes it even harder to spread the knowledge of Krishna. And then even to in yourself the knowledge of Krishna, if you're the only one and you're alone in that type of area.
Hmm.
So how do you spread that knowledge when people don't want it?
Hmm. Where do you live?
Sorry?
Where do you live?
I live like in the city, but I go to school in Elwood.
In Elwood? Okay. So, for those who don't want the knowledge of Krishna, now they don't want to come and like listen to a conversation like this, like a lecture about Krishna himself, then you give them prasadam. You know what prasadam is? Yeah, the food. Yeah, the food is offered to Krishna. So if you give that to them, because anyone can take that, so even if that will purify their brain, and then one day, after they take a lot of it, one day they'll go, so who's Krishna anyway? It actually takes place. So in the beginning, if they don't want it, then you just give that. And the other thing you give is the holy name. You see the Hare Krishnas chanting around the city. So the people don't want it. They don't want to come to a lecture or anything. So we go out and we give Krishna's name. And by hearing that name, right, and then later on, you know, they walk away and they say to a friend, oh, I saw the Hare Krishnas today. So by chanting the name of Krishna, it purifies the consciousness. So these two things, prasadam and like that. And then when they become more purified, then you give them the books. Yeah, but they have to develop some inclination. So that's how you do it in the beginning. And then, as you said, that if you're struggling to do it alone, you're not alone. Now you're alone right now. So you hang out with us, then you're not alone.
Okay. Thank you.
That's the system. The system is sadhu sangha. Right? To make advancement, you have to associate with those who are also on the path. Right? Because if you stay in Melbourne by yourself in your apartment or whatever, then yeah, okay, you're by yourself. But then if you come here, then suddenly you're with those who are on the path, and it's easy. It's not a struggle. You know, I'm not finding it a struggle right now. Hands up if you're finding it a struggle right now to remember Krishna. Okay. There's always one person in the crowd. But how can it be difficult? I mean, how could it be any easier? You're sitting in Krishna's temple. You're sitting in front of Krishna. You're with Krishna's devotees. And you're hearing talk about Krishna. All the artwork is related to Krishna. You know, it's like, how easier can it get? If you can't do it here now, then you can't do it. You know, go and jump off the bridge at Flinders Street and, you know, go and jump into the Yarra River and float away. But otherwise, you know, it's easy. This is easy. But you have to, if you do it by yourself, yeah, it's difficult. But if you do it with others, it's easy. Yeah. Because if you're struggling, they'll pick you up. They'll say, come on. Yeah, I'm glad that you came here. Welcome. This is your home. Please come again. Yeah. Very nice. Too nice. What is your question?
Can you share your views on how to do good
training? How to do good training means you have to be focused. It means when you get up in the morning, the first thing is chant early in the morning. Because if it's like it's 8:30 now, if you haven't started your rounds, your chanting by now, it's going to be a lot more difficult. Hands up if you've finished your rounds already. How many you've already chanted 16 rounds? 1, 2, 3. Okay, very good. That's the way to do it. Prabhupada actually said one time, he said if you can, Mangalati, you know Mangalati? Mangalati begins at 4:30 in the morning. Prabhupada said if you can have your rounds finished by Mangalati, You can stay brahmachari your whole life. It means you never have to get married, you'll just be so connected to Krishna. You'll be so happy that... So, I mean, that's, you know, we don't expect everyone to do that, but by 7 in the morning, if you have most of your chanting done, then, or all of your chanting done, then it'll be much easier to practice Krishna consciousness. So rise early, and when you do your chanting, don't do anything else, just chanting, and focus, and listen to the holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Prabhupada said when you're chanting, Radha and Krishna are dancing on your tongue. So meditate on the sound vibration. Right? And you can think of Krishna's pastimes, or you can meditate on the pictures while you're chanting. That's why this is such a nice place to chant in here. Is that okay? Anything else?
I have one more question. So to develop a good pace of chanting, you need to chant more. I mean, chant. Then it goes like vice versa. To chant, you need to have a pace as well. So it's like...
It's not just chanting more, but it's chanting properly.
Yeah, so chanting properly. Like,
yeah, chant properly, right? And then you can start chanting more. What's the use of chanting more if you're not chanting properly? So chant properly. Learn to chant properly. Chant nicely. And then you can gradually increase and do more chanting also. Make sense?
So would you recommend to have... say 4 rounds done properly, then doing 8 rounds out of that.
I recommend doing 16 rounds properly. Okay?
People like me will say,
yeah, people like you. I'm talking to you. Do 16 rounds properly. Don't worry about 4 rounds. What does it mean, 4 rounds properly? Right, I'll do 4 rounds properly. Okay, that's done. Now I'll do 4 bad rounds. It doesn't make sense, does it? Does it make sense? Okay, so build up. Right, everyone can chant 1 round. Okay? Stop being distracted. Hey, no side conversations. This is Bhagavatam class. Bhagavatam class means you listen. Okay. So, chant 1 round properly. Right? And then, once you've done that, then chant 2 rounds properly. Then 4, then 8, then 16. But the point is that you should build up to 16 properly. Whatever you do, that's your choice. Right? But if you get to 16, do it properly. If you do 1, do it properly. Cover your mouth when you want. When you are chanting, do it properly. Right? Then gradually build up. Make sense? It means that all of us, especially in the beginning, we will struggle with chanting. Right? It's hard to be attentive all the time. Sometimes, you know, your mind wanders off, and then you realize after a couple of rounds, oh, my mind's not there, and then bring it back. So it's a practice. That's why it's called sadhana. Right? Sadhana means practice. We're practicing. Right? So you practice. Okay, like Burujambaru says, just chant one name, Krishna, attentively. Then chant one mantra, right? One whole mantra, attentively. Then concentrate on a round, then 2 rounds, then 16 rounds. So it's a practice. So we all do it, our mind wanders off. But you have to learn to bring it back. And as time goes by, as the years go by, you should feel that you're getting more taste and that your mind is more focused on the chanting, not being so distracted. You have to see improvement constantly. In spiritual life, you can only go 2 ways. Right? You can only go forward or back. Right? You can't stay on the same platform. So just make sure you're always going forward. That's the point. Any other question?
Prabhuji, you said that in order to advance, you have to recognize who is further up than you and who is back down. But in doing that, don't you think that we risk falling in the trap of probably bringing up pride, especially when we are identifying people who are?
Yeah, it depends what your motivation is. Because if someone's less advanced than you, less progressed, and you're trying to help them, what's the motivation? Right? Yeah. Is the motivation that you actually want to help them? Or as you say, are you just proud and you just want to tell someone what to do because you feel like, oh, I've been around 3 weeks now. So now I'm here for 3 weeks, I can tell all the guys have been here for 1 week. Oh, you should be doing like this. Sometimes that's pride, right? But when you actually want to help, you see, okay, they're not doing things properly. You want to help them do things properly to please Krishna, and that's your motivation, then that's proper. So in the beginning, yeah, we're all proud in the beginning, but we have to gradually, that should not be, that pride will not sustain you in devotional service long term. What sustains you in devotional service long term is when you develop genuine compassion to help others. Genuine compassion. You actually want people to lift up. You want them to become good devotees. You want to teach them how to serve Krishna nicely. And that's your motivation. So when you come from that place, then it's not pride. Does it make sense? Any other question?
We are talking about proper chanting. And it's observed that particularly in the kirtan, all the three words of Hare Krishna are mispronounced. Like Hare pronounced as Hare, Krishna pronounced as Krishna, Ram pronounced as Ramo, Rama. All the proper chanting, particularly in the kirtan, and everybody is repeating that following Anugirtan back to kirtan. So how do we improve on this?
I mean, after the kirtan, you could go up to the devotee and say, Prabhu, you know, do you realize that you chant like this, and maybe they can... Like, I used to always say, Ramo. Ramo, Ramo. Like that. And then anybody, Prabhu said, that's not the Maha Mantra. And I said, oh, okay. So then I began to chant. So I just say to the devotee, just say nicely, that's, you know, that's maybe that's what I'm saying. Even Prabhupada, I mean, Prabhupada said, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, like that. So the mantra is Hare Krishna. The Prabhupada saying Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, like that. So, you know, sometimes, you know, devotees may even chant, may not sound, you know, perfectly like that, but, you know, the effect is there. Or if it's too much, you just say to the devotee, maybe Prabhu maybe chant a little bit more, like that. So. Any other questions? Okay. Shubha Prabhupada ki.